This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, your host. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist. I work here in New York. I have patients from all over the country. I do phone consults. It all works. If you'd like to make an appointment, call our office, speak to Grimaldi at 212-779-1744. If you have any questions that you'd like me to answer on this podcast, provided they're relevant to health, wellness, nutrition, remember, I don't do consults on podcasts. Don't send me your blood tests. But indeed, you could become a new patient of mine. I am accepting new patients. However, if you have any questions or topics of interest that you'd like to hear me talk about on the Intelligent Medicine podcast, email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. Well, November, and I'm just cutting it close here because this is really the last week of November. November is National Alzheimer's Month. Maybe you know somebody with Alzheimer's disease. It is the scourge. After the twin epidemics of obesity and diabetes, Alzheimer's is beginning to make a rampant run to be the third epidemic. Remember that Alzheimer's disease is being characterized as type 3 diabetes. So, higher glucose levels may be a risk factor for dementia in older adults. And here's a clue to all that. And in this study, this was a large cohort of French older adults. The study findings revealed that blood glucose level was the only factor with consistently elevated mean levels among patients with dementia compared with controls up to 14 years prior to diagnosis. Consider that. So say you're 80 and you're diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. Your high blood sugar at 65, 66 years old has something to do with your 80-year-old self and the diagnosis of dementia or Alzheimer's disease. Now, along with high glycemia, high blood sugar, this study also indicated low blood pressure and weight loss as possible targets for managing cardiovascular health in the prevention of dementia among older adults. This is in JAMA Psychiatry. JAMA is the Journal of the American Medical Association Psychiatry. This was actually from last summer, July in 2018. So limited research has examined trajectories of risk factors in the long period preceding a dementia diagnosis. To our knowledge, says one of the researchers, no large cohort study has concurrently examined the trajectories of all main cardiovascular risk factors in the years preceding dementia diagnosis. And the optimal targets and time windows in older ages for the management of cardiometabolic health for dementia prevention have remained unclear. So, high blood sugar, Higher blood pressure and overweight status are the main factors, as much as 14 years before diagnosis. If this exists in you now, could there be a diagnosis of dementia in your future? In this case control study, nested within a French population-based cohort of adults aged 65 years and older, researchers simultaneously modeled and compared the trajectories of cardiometabolic risk factors up to 14 years before dementia diagnosis in those with incident dementia. This was about 785 subjects and matched controls. The control subjects were 3,140. At diagnosis visit, they matched each dementia case to four controls. Specifically, the investigators examined the trajectories of cardiometabolic variables through repeated measures of body mass index, blood pressure, like systolic blood pressure, the top number, diastolic blood pressure, which is the bottom number, HDL cholesterol, the so-called good cholesterol, LDL cholesterol, the so-called bad cholesterol, right? Triglycerides, and glycemia levels between the years 1999 and the years 2014. According to the result, older adults showed faster decline in BMI, slower increase of systolic blood pressure, and constantly lower diastolic blood pressure compared with controls. Researchers noted the following measurements 14 years prior to dementia diagnosis as well as at diagnosis. So, average BMI was about 26, which is definitely in the overweight category, at 14 years prior to a diagnosis, and 24.8 at diagnosis for a case with dementia versus 25.7 at 14 years prior and 25.3 at diagnosis for a dementia-free control. They also found in those that were diagnosed, they had a higher systolic, that high number blood pressure, ranging at about between 135 and 145, and the low number, the diastolic blood pressure, ranging at between 76.5, around just in the mid-70s there, which is interesting. So the closer to 80 you get, the worse off you are. Conversely, the results showed that on average, glycemia or blood sugar was higher among participants with dementia than controls at 14 years prior to diagnosis, with a significant case control difference from 1.5 to 14 years before diagnosis. However, the authors found no significant case control differences in the trajectories of blood lipid levels before or at dementia diagnosis. So in this particular study, in this particular cohort, blood glucose level was the only cardiometabolic factor with consistently higher mean levels among dementia cases compared with controls up to 14 years prior to diagnosis. Whether confirmed and extended to other populations, these findings emphasizing blood glucose control, low blood pressure, and weight loss as the key components of cardiovascular health management for primary and secondary prevention of dementia in older persons, and may have important implications for preventive care practice in geriatric populations. Now, it's National Alzheimer's Month. There are certain foods that are beneficial. A ketogenic diet is beneficial. Fruits, vegetables lower the risk for dementia and increase cognition. We're talking about your beneficial phytonutrients, your micronutrients, your antioxidants. Different foods provided benefits associated with dementia, Alzheimer's disease, and cognition, according to several abstracts presented at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference. Researchers, a healthy diet reduces risk for dementia. Well, that makes sense, right? You want to have a whole foods-based diet. That's a healthy diet because it can reduce the risk for dementia. Researchers developed a score based on consumption of cooked vegetables and fruits, fish, legumes, olive oil, as well as raw vegetables and fruits, eating habits, and health status of 7,353 participants were scored at baseline. They found that after 14 years, there were 906 cases of incident dementia, and those with a high adherence to a healthy diet were less likely to develop dementia. So, an analysis of 2,092 participants of the Framingham Heart Study who did not have dementia or stroke and followed a particular eating plan indicated better Alzheimer's-related symptoms across three different examination cycles from 1991 to 2001. So, this is important information. Flavanols decrease Alzheimer's disease risk. Researchers examined dietary assessments and neurological exams of 934 participants, paying particular attention to their baseline dietary intakes of flavanols. Those in the highest quintile of total flavanol intake compared to the lowest rank had a decreased rate of Alzheimer's disease. These flavanols have a protective effect. Also, omega-3 fatty acids may improve cognition. So, omega-3 fatty acids, which are only good for the brain, Western diet increases the risk for Alzheimer's disease. We already know this because a Western diet is a much less healthy diet, a very processed food diet, a very high in trans fat diet, a high in vegetable oil, very inflammatory vegetable oil diet. So, important information given that it's National Alzheimer's Month. Here's more information, and I thought it was, I thought that it would be pertinent to this podcast. I had a recent question, and if you subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine newsletter, you've probably seen this article about memory trouble. If you don't, you can go to drhoffman.com. You could subscribe there at the homepage. The newsletter comes out practically every Thursday, sometimes Wednesday evening, sometimes Friday morning, but generally every Thursday. It's free, and you can unsubscribe at any time, but packed full of good information on the Intelligent Medicine newsletter. So this question on memory trouble, somebody wrote in, I have trouble remembering words. Would coconut butter work for me? What is the amount that I should take every day? Well, and my answer is that memory loss can have many causes. How old are you? Have you checked in with your doctor or neurologist for a full workup? This is the first order of business. At the very least, you may be deficient in vitamin B12, or you may have poor circulation. This requires a workup by your physician. Have you recently started taking medication? Some medications can cause memory loss. Are you taking a cholesterol-lowering medication? If you're taking Lipitor, Zocor, these statin medications are notorious for creating or exacerbating memory deficits. B12 because we need cholesterol for proper brain function. An underactive thyroid can also trigger forgetfulness. Go get that checked out. When you have a sluggish thyroid, that has everything to do with the brain fog, the tip of the tongue syndrome, you have trouble remembering words. It could be your thyroid that's doing it. Pardon me. High blood sugar associated with prediabetes and diabetes can damage blood vessels in the brain, leading to memory problems, confusion, and irritability, just like this French cohort study that I just talked to you about. Another thing that I would want to measure are cortisol levels. Cortisol is a stress hormone. If your body is awash in stress hormone, all this cortisol that's circulating, it can shrink the hippocampus. Hippocampus is the area of the brain responsible for memory, responsible for your short-term memory, your long-term memory. It shrinks as we get older. But if we're under chronic stress, high levels of cortisol circulating, we're not only putting on belly fat, because the body regards this as an emergency and we need some fat stores in case we need to survive, we need enough fuel reserves, but it also shrinks the hippocampus. And do you drink alcohol? If you're a regular drinker, even if you have a nightly glass of wine with your dinner, you may have a thiamine deficiency. Thiamine is vitamin B1, which can impact your speech and word formation. It can. Which is why people who are tipsy or drunk, they slur their words. And no, you don't have to consume a lot of alcohol to have a thiamine deficiency, as we're finding out. A poor diet alone will do it. A severe thiamine deficiency can lead to Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome. That's a disorder characterized by chronic poor memory, confusion, agitation, and hostility. So these are things to note when you're wondering, you know, why am I having trouble remembering words? Maybe you should stop that daily, that nightly wine habit. Just stop it and see if it doesn't get better. Take a B-complex vitamin formula, see if it doesn't. But you know, first order of business, you need to check in with your physician. If you're concerned about this, you need to check in with your physician. Another reason, for memory trouble or possible progression to dementia, maybe you have a high homocysteine level. A high homocysteine is an independent risk factor for stroke, dementia, cardiovascular disease, and bone fracture. Take that into account. Ask your physician for a homocysteine test. I still don't see enough physicians doing this test, and I am often requesting it. With my private clients, I often send them with a list of requested blood tests back to their primary care or their internist, so I can see what are the risk factors here that I can help then the patient, the client, I can help them nutritionally to reduce homocysteine. It could be a very easy fix. So for this person who writes in, I have trouble remembering words, a full workup with your doctor is critical to reveal the cause of the trouble. And only a proper medical assessment can help determine an appropriate treatment plan for you. Now, coconut oil, with respect to coconut oil, it helps to convert metabolism to a fat-burning metabolism, which is called lipolysis ketosis. Ketones are a byproduct of fat metabolism, and it's the brain's preferred source of fuel. It's helpful in the treatment of dementia and Alzheimer's disease. Now, if you've heard of Dr. Mary Newport, you can also go to coconutketones.com, coconutketones.com, or in your search engine, type in Dr. Mary Newport. Her husband has Alzheimer's, and she's been able to greatly diminish the progression with coconut oil therapy for her husband. Typically anywhere from 4 tablespoons to 12 tablespoons is the daily dose spread throughout the day. And this would be in addition to embarking on a ketogenic diet. if you're on a ketogenic diet, you want supervision from a qualified nutritionist, such as myself, if I may say so. It's immensely helpful to make sure that you're doing it right. So, it's National Alzheimer's Month. Time to take stock of the things that may be upping your risk factors as much as 14 years before a diagnosis. Is your blood sugar too high? Are you in the pre-diabetes range? You can reverse it with the proper diet. Is your blood pressure too high? Is your, you know, do you have a big waistline? Are you overweight? All of this is treatable. All of this is reversible. And you can, if you do reverse these successfully, you can eliminate your risk factors for Alzheimer's disease. To your health, I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.